next to me on my right hand is Mr. Jack Clark, the Regional Commissioner of Western Cape. On the other side, just behind our row, is Mr. Terence Ratsiroka, the Executive Manager in the Office of the National Commissioner of Correctional Services. Next to him, Mr. Pico Mbambo, the Chief Director, is responsible for parliamentary license. And behind me, the Regional Commissioner of KwaZulu-Natal, Mr. Nickel Akmele, chairperson. The other members who were supposed to be here with us this morning could not make the 10 o'clock sitting as we had initially informed them that would start at 1400 hours. But our pleasure in being part of this discussion. Thank you, chairperson.
In that row, Mr. Modisio is sitting. Is there anybody that has not? We can just introduce ourselves individually, other than, of course, those that Mr. Modisio has already introduced. Can we? Has everybody been introduced in the background? No. I'm talking about this row where Mr. Modisio is sitting. Ma'am, have you been introduced? Please introduce yourself and let's go around. Who are you and who are you representing, and then we just go around.
I'm Ms. Nobumela Lepidika. I'm representing the Child Inspectorate for Correctional Services.
I'm Yolanda Issa. I'm representing Judicial Inspectorate for Correctional Services.
I'm Lazar Alviter, also from Judicial Inspectorate for Correctional Services.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm Mike Masondo. I'm representing JICS. I'm the new director in Management Treasury. I'm 2 weeks old.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm the immediate past inspecting judge in the Judicial Inspectorate, beyond from sale. Happy to be here with you again.
I'm Dineo Mutubi from Judicial Inspectorate.
Saida Solomon, Judicial Inspectorate.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Jiva Pillay. I'm from the Department of Service and Administration. I've been invited by the inspecting judge. Public Service and Administration.
Thank you, sir. I'm Kayla from Judicial Inspectorate of Correctional Services. I received it from the Department of Justice.
Good day, sir. I'm Tami Mlenzana from Judicial Inspectorate, ICA, Cape Town.
Good morning, Chairperson, members, and friends. I'm Umesh Raga, National Manager, Legal Services, from the Judicial Inspectorate for Correctional Services.
Honourable Chair and members, I'm Adam Carlson from the Judicial Inspectorate.
Good morning, Yaki Mapomi, serving in the Judicial Inspectorate as Regional Inspector for the Southern Region and Legal Services.
Michael Prusen, Judicial Inspectorate.
Good morning, I'm Barbara Nicholas, representing NICRA Western Cape.
Good morning, my name is Pelispa Siboto, I'm representing NICRA Western Cape.
Good morning, Mpoma Sawatsi, researcher for the committee.
Welcome, Judge. Just so that those people at the back don't feel discriminated against, I heard of two introductions from NICRO and I think one from somebody else. Whilst you're sitting here, we don't have a problem. You can even sit here. But what is clear?
2010-11 to almost 2 million in 2011-12. And among other reasons, why expenditure on travel and subsistence was increased because of increased inspections. We've noted that the inspectorate had 72 inspections for 2011-12. Not sure how many inspections they had in the previous year, because the reason now for the increase in travel and subsistence is as a result of increase in inspections. So one cannot be able to gauge what was the inspections in the previous year as compared to the 2011-2012. We also noted that in terms of inspections and investigations, as highlighted earlier on, 72 inspections carried out and 11 investigations conducted. Investigations are usually carried out where there are allegations of gross human rights violations. Allegations carried out for the following reasons: allegations of assault of officials on inmates, arson and subsequent death of three inmates, I believe it's those ones at the Fugazov, arson and riot, allegation of rape and torture of inmates by officials, and an unnatural death. Now, there were 11 investigations carried out for 2011-2012. My concern here, Chairperson, is that among other things, investigations which were carried out which related to allegations of assault of officials on inmates. Now, we only had 11 investigations for 2011-2012. We know for a fact that there are hundreds and thousands of inmates who complain daily that they have been assaulted by officials. I can take you to Baltimore today. We have more than 100 offenders who say they've been assaulted by officials. But here we see that they only had the 11 investigations. And out of the 11 investigations, the question would be, how many related to assault by officials to inmates? Because all these investigations included arson and riot, rape and torture and so on and so forth. But one would ask how many of those related to the assault of officials to inmates. Another concern also, Chairperson, is on an unnatural death. To me, it means it's war, unless if my English teacher did not teach me right. Because if it's an unnatural death, it means it was war, which was investigated. Now, on the annual report, there were four unnatural deaths caused by officials in KZN, on page 52 of the report, and then also on page 51 of the annual report, says 47 unnatural deaths for 2011-12, of which 16 the inspectorate could not attribute a cause. To me, it means there was an investigation, but it could not attribute the cause to that particular death. Or otherwise, there was an investigation, hence it could not indicate what was the cause. Now, if you indicate here that we only had one investigation in terms of unnatural death, what happened to the four unnatural deaths which were caused by officials in KZN? Have you investigated those? What happened to the 47 unnatural deaths reported on page 51 of your report? And because if you indicate that 16 unnatural deaths, the inspectorate could not attribute the cause. Are you saying you, because 47 minus 16 is 31, are you saying you've investigated the other 31 or no? Because here you said an unnatural death, and that said to me it means it's only one. I've also noticed on the other slides there were also inconsistencies in terms of And on page 37 of the current annual report, it says only 595 investigations were carried out for that particular year, which is a concern to me. I'm not sure whether those complaints have gone down or the inmates have lost faith in the inspectorate. They no longer want to report all these cases. Again, Chairperson, in terms of the transfer, the annual report indicates that they recorded 97 on page 38, 97 transfers recorded. If you look at the previous annual report, we had 42,185 transfers complaints recorded. And we know offenders always complain about transfers. Actually, even this between Monday and Tuesday of this week, I had two offenders from Whitbank who told me about complaining about transfer. And we always send this information to the inspecting judge. I think the other challenge experienced by offenders is that they don't get feedback either from the department or the ICCB in those particular facilities. That's why when I would ask them, have you contacted the ICCB in your particular facility? They just said no. Either they haven't seen this person for a while, or they regard these people actually as post office. They said no, these guys will tell them that you have complained. They only give you a feedback of what the head of center is saying. They are not actually resolving my complaint. And maybe also there's a need for the inspecting judge to educate the offender in terms of what it is that they are actually doing. Whether are they only reporting their complaints, or are they really indeed resolving those complaints? Because the offenders have lost faith, particularly in most of the ICCB, like it's happening with the legal aid South Africa. My computer is dealing with me now. If you go to slide 13, fortunately we've got the hard copies of the slide. If you go to slide 13, it talks about inmate assault. The annual report recorded 71 inmate assault. It's on page 40 of the annual report. If you look at the previous annual report, page 32 of 2010-2011 annual report, it talks about 2,276 recorded inmate assault, member on inmate assault. 2,276 complaints relating to member on inmate assault were recorded in the previous financial year, in 2010-2011, but for 2011-12, the annual report is only 71. Also, the annual report talks about 13 ICCB's contracts were terminated because of deliberate acts of dishonesty by claiming for hours visited at the center that could not be verified, amongst others. I think, Honorable Magagula, this is the reason why when you go on our overhead and we ask offenders if they reported their complaints to ICCB, they say they never saw it. This testifies to what the report is saying, that other ICCBs do not visit centers, but they lie that they've been to the center. 10, 13 of them were
make sure that it happens, and I do know that somebody was saying the NPA was reluctant, but I think that's the concern raised by South Africans, that there are all these unnatural deaths and they don't see consequences, and in your response you could talk to that. There was also concerns raised about there is clear evidence of inhumane detention, clear indications of inhumane detention or flouting of the law. I think they alluded to juveniles that are incarcerated when it should have been the last port of call. The fact that everybody should be entitled to at least 1 hour of training or reading according to the Constitution, and it doesn't happen, and yet you guys do nothing about it. I'm saying that's the concern that was raised by people. So in your responses, you need to do that. They think that there's no reaction from TICS. The natural deaths and those things he spoke about. And then, of course, outside of the stakeholders' interaction yesterday, we also get reaction from civil society generally. And the one that I need to put on the table, I know that they've touched sides with you, Mr. Carlson, and also with Mr. Self, and members might not be aware of it. It's something that we must think about. And maybe you must give us a formal response. There's a concern that parolees are being used as ICCVs. Parolees. Now, I'm saying that is an allegation from civil society. And in fact, when they spoke to me, they said to me that Mr. Carlson said there's no problem with that. We're not talking about people who serve their sentence then and their parole, but these are parolees. And the concern that civil society has is that a parolee, technically speaking, is still an inmate. Not an inmate, but still, for want of a better word, a prisoner, let's put it that way. Although he's outside, he's not inside. How do you guys make him a ICCV? And remember, he then must go and report to the people who can lock him up tomorrow if they don't like him. And I don't know how much truth is there, but we certainly have received correspondence to that effect. And maybe you should talk to them. Is it in fact true, the allegation? And if it's true, then members must pronounce on it. If it's not true, we are then able to go back to that individual and say, stop spreading rumors. Because you see, if we don't deal with it now, and if this thing goes to the media or anywhere else, it sets just a very bad precedent that whilst I'm still a patient, if not a better word, of the state, I'm going to work in that very same institution and getting paid for it. And getting paid for it because they get some sort of assignment. So those are the kinds of
other functions really came to effect after the restructuring within the inspectorate. Program 3 deals with community oversight and stakeholders engagement, and that is basically chapter 10 of the Correctional Services Act that deals with the ICCV's Independent Correctional Center visitors as well as the visitors committees. Also, we've included in this report the special, we refer to it as the special project of the inspecting judge, which will be focusing in his tenure on children that is in conflict with the law and children in our facilities, children and juveniles, because we understand children in terms of the DCS Act, those 18 and younger, and the juveniles 18 to 21, although they, at some centers you do get some discrepancies because the age is 18 to 25. Five remarks, Mr. Chair and members, is one, in our annual report, the judge states that each chapter reflects specific recommendations, and it is our intent to report, to monitor the recommendations and to report on it at each quarterly report. Secondly, the report also reflects critique on the inspectorate as an organization, shortcomings, for example, shortcomings in terms of government regulations, and that is, should we aspire, should it be a collective decision that the judicial inspectorate should become an independent body, something that we need to take into consideration. And as well as we had an intense introspection of the organization, and we discovered quite a number of challenges as well as gaps within our independent correctional center visitor. We refer to it as complaint system, and at this stage we want to thank the portfolio committee in advance that we will be able to interact specifically on this matter on the 24th of October. The report also reflects on the independence, and I'll just mention something to that effect. And we also, at this stage, welcome the portfolio committee inviting stakeholders to give comment on the effectiveness of the judicial inspectors and how we can be strengthened. And that matter is also addressed in our report. Mr. Chair and members, for this annual report, a draft of this report was sent to the Department of Correctional Services, meaning that it is not the first time that the department will engage in this report at this session. This is a little bit different than in the past. We send a draft to all the regional commissioners. We send a draft to all chief deputy commissioners, specifically to the chief operational officer. The department thus had an opportunity to reflect on whatever we said in this report. We also tried, and we discovered yesterday and again today, that there are discrepancies in terms of statistics and figures, but we try to align our statistics and our figures with the department by doing two things, submitting the report in a draft form, and if there was anything incorrect, the department has an opportunity to respond to that. And secondly, also specifically in terms of figures, stats with mandatory reports, we also verify that by the department. The year under review, Mr. Chair, and I've said this on two occasions, and I just want to, we can't overemphasize that the restructuring of our office and the conclusion of our restructuring what the powers, functions, and duties are of the judicial inspector and of the inspecting judge. And the session or the act is very clear that we can only inspect, we can investigate, we can monitor and report. So we have been reporting and we've seen a change in terms of response and the effectiveness of the reporting since we've changed, and it's only for 2 quarters now that we've been reporting on a quarterly basis, giving us an opportunity to go into more detail and giving the department an opportunity to respond to what we have reported on. But as I said, that's only been going on for 6 months, for 2 quarters, and we don't have any more evidence that the reporting is successful than 2 quarters. Can I respond on the letter, Mr. Chair, on Barawi? It is a fact that the judicial inspector, since in his inception, has appointed, in terms of his policy, persons on parole to serve as RCCV. We have a process of screening those RCCVs who have been either incarcerated or received community correction sentences. Our policy is very clear that we may not appoint an RCCV at the center where he or she was incarcerated. Since its inception, we have not dismissed one single RCCV that was on parole while he or she was serving as an RCCV, because we have this measure that the supervisors, which is the area coordinators or the business committee coordinators, will monitor those RCCVs much more closer. In fact, we want to put it on the record that it has been proven over and over that our most effective RCCV comes from the ranks of ex-offenders. Ex-offenders inclusive of those that are on parole. To bring this matter, how it came under the attention of the court, for the moment. Okay, so, yeah, that is our policy, and we want to say that it has been effective in the past. If you need to change it, we will review it without doubt. But it is our opinion that it will be a sad day if we promote rehabilitation and dignified reintegration, and there is no program to support those RCCVs. Some of those RCCVs, two to be exact, is on a fixed establishment today. That was Baroli's, previous Baroli's. All our messenger cleaners at our various offices are Baroli's, and we see it as our program to support people to get back onto the feet. And part of the screening process is to see, while that person was incarcerated, did that person pick up any new criminal activities while the person was incarcerated? That is the type of screening that we do. And we really hope and we really will plead that when it should be reviewed, that it should be reviewed with all caution. In terms of the budget, yes, the report shows that there was an overspending of 2.9 million, and the researcher is correct. The researcher is also correct that in the past we did not make mention of what was allocated. it at, on the previous occasion, and I want to conclude with this, Mr. Chair, that in terms of Section 91 of the Act, that says that the department is responsible for all expenses of the judicial inspector. The system that we use is we will make a request, we will present a budget, the department will make an allocation. We review this budget and allocation 3 times per annum during the financial year, and that is where the department will then allocate more funds in terms of our need. So it is not a reckless or irresponsible.
was done between 2010-11 and 2011-12. The report in page 20 stated that the inspectorate does not have an internal audit post. Has this position been catered for in this restructuring process? I want to know that is. And then also, content advisor, last speak that it felt that the inspecting judge doesn't have the teeth to bite. It must be given teeth to bite. We want to know that from the inspector judge that they really feel that they don't have enough teeth to bite. And if yes, then what kind of the teeth that we're supposed to put to their mouth? I thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll talk on page 40. Yeah, page 40. On this one. 440. Yeah. And the report says that second paragraph. The postponement or for a failure profile for LifeLab. And it goes on talking about the psychologist, psychiatrist, and criminologist. What has happened to find out from the inspectorate? What can be done in order to speed up this process? Because if you look at the people that are needed to help these life work, are very scarce in this department. And to me, it takes very long even to see one of them. What can be done in order to speed up this process? On page 41, these are total complaints, right? Now, can we be given an explanation why, in the case of the Eastern Cape, for instance, we don't have any report coming from DCS for the investigation that was conducted by the department, whereas in Western Cape there is one, at least one report that was received by the inspectorate. And in these other, why it did not happen, what was the reason given by the head of SELGA to the inspectorate? Then the other one relates to
cannot give you that answer because we've not been given a time frame when we will receive a response. All that we can give evidence of is our monthly correspondence to the department requesting when the process will be finalized. Without being too unreasonable, if we can have that structure approved by the end of this month, it means that we can start with the process. And coming back to the chairperson's question regarding making the inspectorate more strengthening the inspectorate. And one of the things is our structure. We need to have the people. We need to have the right people. And we cannot continuously using temporary posters at the end of this month, short of sweeps. I know it's unreasonable, but that is our desire. You asked me to give our desire. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just on a lighter note, yes, we all have blue on today. You see that we have introduced a corporate image for the judicial inspectorate, and we chose the four colors of the uniforms of the inmates, emphasizing that inmates are also human beings. We are an oversight body, a human rights body, that is what we believe. And the judge's project is youth, and the color of the uniform of youth is blue. So we are with the youth today and with our judge today. Mm-hmm. When he presents his first annual report, just on a lighter note. Yes, there's been a major increase in terms of printing and stationery in our budget. In the past, we only had training of an introductory training, meaning that an ICCB for the 3-year term only did one specific training. What we changed from November last year came from our strategic planning is that after 3 months, an ICCB will be trained. There's an introductory training. The ICCB will commence working for 3 months, we then pull them back, and then we give them a paralegal training, a more in-depth training, how to deal with complaints, how to do preliminary investigations and all those kinds of things. And with training, there's also always an escalation, training material in stationery, and also with the expansion of the office, the researcher showed out the number of posts last year, but this year, the number of post on the fixed contract, and that also added to escalation in the budget in terms of of printing and stationery. There was a question on the on our external post, internal post.
Internal audit.
The new structure makes provision for an internal auditor. In the meantime, we want to express our appreciation at the beginning of this financial year. I met with the internal auditor of the department, and we have an arrangement that they do. We requested four specific audits. In our next quarterly report, we will give you a detailed outcome of audits on our independent correctional center. That was my first request as RDCB. So an in-depth audit was done on ICCB, on policies, on everything pertaining to ICCB. And we will make the whole audit report available to this committee when we engage. They will also be doing an audit on our post-establishment, on people that is appointed, as well as on those on fixed-term contracts, to see if there's any nepotism or any irregularities, look at our processes and policies and all those kind of things. They will be doing an audit on our independency because we have registered with the department that there are some policies that is applicable from the department and us, and there's other policies that is not applicable. We have some advantages of the department and others we don't have, and we will put that on record and it will come out from the audit. So we are not just waiting for the new structure to start with the process. We were proactive in starting with the process. I can only recall the suspension of the one staff member don't want to just create something just to give an answer. I must apologize for that. The two questions on page 1441, I will allow Mr. Umesh Raga, who is the head of the Director of Legal Services, to respond briefly on that. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. No, Mr. Chair.
You remember the researcher made a comment, and I think the member is asking you to comment on his comment. Otherwise, we take it for gospel if you don't contest.
I will give my opinion on it, although the ultimate lead will be the inspecting judge that will be the decisive factor. In my opinion, no, we don't have enough. It is not sufficient just to report, because report and what, and it has been said over and over. We would like to see somewhere in legislation where we will get our recommendation, one that we must be able to make recommendations. That is number one. And it must also, the recommendations that we make must be enforced, or the department must give reason to why it cannot be enforced. The contrary, that is what I, as CEO, and I'm just speaking in general management belief, but ultimately it is the inspecting judge, and I would like to respect that. Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Taylor asked about what can be done in those matters where parole consideration or finality is not reached as a result of the shortage of professional staff. Of course, our suggestion and our strong suggestion would be that the department fill the vacant posts for those in those specialist positions of psychologists, criminologists, and so forth, because they're essential role players in determining parole in many cases, in some of the more serious cases. Maybe I could also just refer you to the annual report under inspections, and where we listed some of our main findings, and at page 34, the second graphic, the third item talks about staff shortage, medical. Now, in that respect, medical would include, it's used in a broad sense, includes medical practitioners, of course, psychologists, psychiatrists. The other finding we had made during our inspections was that there were also staff shortage with regard to educators. But to answer your question, Mr. Taylor, and to the committee, what we have found in complaints received apropos parole was that in cases, matters were postponed for what they call a further profile. And of course, when one interrogates that, one realized that all the documentation and all the processes, the whole rehabilitation program, had not been put together sufficiently, and often the appearance before parole board is premature. So the anticipation of consideration and positive consideration for release on parole is thwarted because a further parole is required. But the crisp answer to your question is that the department need to fill those critical vacancies that exist amongst professional staff. That being your first question on page 40. At page 41, I can't give you a specific answer. You asked a question about the Eastern Cape with regard to the assaults that we had inquired into.
and only one was election was taken. And I, according to them, Jesus is quite aware of this, that only one case was taken where the election was taken. I just want to find out from Jesus that when you do monitoring on compliance, what do they say to you? What made them not to take the similar action to the other cases that we presented to them? And the other one is that one of overcrowding in jails. I just want to find out from just what can they recommend that can be done to avoid overcrowding in jails? Because there were many suggestions that came from the stakeholders. So I want to find out from your side that upon inspection in all these jails, when we find out about this, when we discover the, see the situation of the overcrowding, what do you think can be done to avoid it in the future? Then the last one, there was a question from Nick Cook where they were saying, out of all the people that are supposed to be receiving ARP, only 67% are safe. And they've got, I think it's the department that is making the policy. That is not the same as the national policy, whereby they are saying, when the 54 count is below 350, they are eligible to get an ARP. But inside the, in the department, all the inmates that are supposed to be getting the ARP, only 57 are getting. The other 33 is not getting. And I just want to find out from you, whether are you aware of this, as you conduct inspection today, are you aware that there are inmates that are not receiving ARP, which are supposed to receive? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will start with on page 40 with this head of legal services of the judge on his answer. His reply to say that his recommendation is that DCS should follow those professional positions. Now, my questions. First of all, during your visit there, your interrogation of these complaints, did you find that those complainants are eligible to be considered for parole? Do they have real reasons? So they were entitled. So first of all, you establish they are entitled? Yes. So with your reply, you implying that the lack of the delay by the department or the failure by the department not to appoint people, professionals, who can evaluate actually contravenes their right to be considered. They delay the process, is it what you are saying, because of DCS failure to timelessly follow those positions as in negative effect on the human right of this person to be considered. Is that correct? Right. This is the one question. My next question is to Mr. Carlson on page 70. Your demographic composition. Just a question to know. I want to know whether you apply national or regional demographics in your appointments. The next one is, I don't know, I was out with regard to the suspended person, one staff member, but excuse me if it was already responded to. I just want to know whether this person is still on leave or is disciplinary finalized. Then with regards to on page 18, where the researcher indicates his concern that you are, in his view, in terms of his interpretation of your documentation, you are dependent, you know, you plead for
discussed the need by the department chief audit executive. Is it now within the department or is it this external audit committee? I just want to have clarity which one is it, and if it is internal, the department itself, so what is your chances then that the very same committee would do the internal or books on auditing of the department not assisting you, for instance? You understand, to address that particular issue. Although you actually compliment the chairperson on page 21, that will not prevent us from scrutinizing you. Then on page 23, then you mention those deaths of whatever, the inmates. I just want to know, you know, to be proactive, and I think your role as judge is not to be only reactive. You are in most instances reactive because what is being complained to you is already done, or the damage is done, you know. There's already prejudice towards the inmate. So, did you investigate, as we have heard yesterday, about where the DPP, you know, declined to prosecute? For those reasons, just as a judge, did you investigate as to why is there no prosecution? Because if there's prosecution, it serves as a deterrent. If there's no prosecution, those responsible continue with those practices to kill people and so forth, and to assault, you know, for whatever matter the case is being registered. Then, what are you, what do you regard as gross human rights on page 35? Gross human rights. In my view, if there's a transgression of human rights, it's a transgression. Then, on page 51, you mentioned there in your graph that there's 16 unknown other, but at the same time, you take upon yourself or your medical experience on page 55 to explain to us chronic renal failure is as a result of diabetes and, you know, all these things. So, these unknown, and then at the same time you explain here, does it fall in that category? And what about the fact that there's post-mortems? I mean, are post-mortems being conducted when these people, you know, were found to determine what is the cause of the death, you know, and how is it, and if so, why is it possible that you could mention it as an unknown if it doesn't fall in the category explained in, or the reasons explained in on page 45? No further questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, mine is on page 18, on point, on 4.1, on budget and expenditure. I was thinking that one of the next maybe will cover me, but
Our
the department and the department says, no, no, we had to do it because these guys or whatever. You know, there's this thing about, what would you call it, unusual force, or I don't know if it's the correct word, but too much force. Then it's excessive force, yes. And of course, if you go to the department who you've accused of bullying somebody, do you really expect the department to say, no, no, I'm wrong? I think that's the frustration that we have, that at some point you need to tell us, because we are meeting the department Tuesday, and we want to get a sense from you. Are these guys using excessive force unnecessarily? We're talking about torture. There's a torture bill that will be an act shortly. We are talking about St. Albans. We are talking about Mtata not so long ago that you guys have reported to us. Just tell us as a committee, as an independent inspecting authority, do you think that those guys are abusing our people? We come from a very brutalized society, and we're expecting you as independent people to say to us that that brutality is continuing even in this democracy. Or it's not. We expect you to do that, otherwise we must fire all of you. Why must we have you here? Let's fire you and get somebody else. Because if the brutality is continuing even after democracy, then we need to do something. And we are meeting them on Tuesday. Now, the question that was raised here is 71 cases. I think you were saying there was just one case. I forget the question. I think there was just one that was... So 70 others have been cleared. 71 of the 71, 70 seem to have been cleared. You might not have had the facts, but we just want you to assist us. To say, you know, in our gut feel is that these guys are actually brutalizing our people, or whatever the case might be. It gives us a sense when we interrogate these guys, because you've got it in your report. I can assure you, by the time I go home this afternoon, all the media are going to be phoning me, saying to me, Smith, respond to the 71 unnatural deaths. And I must be able to say, I've met with you. We don't have the facts, but the gut feel is that something on third degree or carte blanche or something like that. Special assignment. Now, we can't ignore all those things coming to us. We cannot ignore all those things coming to us. When an inmate goes as far as Prince himself, not Prince, takes a film of himself, and you guys don't say anything to us, seen a problem somewhere. I'm hoping you understand in the context when you answer these questions so that members get a sense of the state of correctional services.
It's the fact that some of the investigations that we have done, specifically at the SALT officials from member states, enough evidence that there is brutal assault in isolated cases. And we have been reporting for the last 6 months the detail of each incident to the portfolio committee in our quarterly report. So the content and the nitty-gritty of all the 71 is in our quarterly report. We will be able to pick it up, as well as we've been sending those complaints that come from the portfolio committee or was registered at the portfolio committee in this specific case back in our monthly update report to the portfolio committee. So yes, sir, there is some. It is isolated. We cannot deny that, and we've got evidence of that. And it is now quarterly. The question on the overcrowding, Mr. Umesh Raga will respond to that. Regarding the Yelp survey, it was only at this stage, in this report, it was only a survey. The survey was analyzed. So we've got some information from the survey. We need now to go to step D, where we need to say, what are we going to do about this new information that we have gathered, and we are at that stage at this moment. The question on the national or regional demarcation, I just forgotten.
Process between ourselves and the department
comparing the external complaints with the complaints of referred by ICCV. The correct figure that you should take is from page 43, and then you will get his correct calculation, and then you will see it balances out. Something to that effect. Shortly is the judicial inspectorate is not only, we don't only react in terms of complaints, we are also proactive. And one of the ways that we are proactive is by the independent correctional center visitors visiting our centers, dealing with the complaints. And the one figure, with all due respect, that we do not focus on, that we do not reflect, is that the previous financial year, 381,000 complaints was dealt with ICCVs. This financial year, 424,000 complaints was dealt with ICCVs. That is proactive. And that is the success stories that we don't receive. And I've also said this in the past. Our ICCVs is without doubt efficient. They are rendering a significant service to the Republic of South Africa. It is just that we don't focus on the success also in this instance of the report, and we isolate the negative instances, which we appreciate because we need to strengthen it. We need to address that. And the way that we address it is by the same reports showing that those ICCVs that do not perform, that they go through a disciplinary hearing, and for that reason, 13 ICCVs has been dismissed, or contract has been terminated during the financial year. I've already dealt with the budget increase. The other is explained on page 20. Page 19, we will see, yes, there was an increase from 133,000 to 892,000, and for that reason we have given a breakdown, and we've explained it in the paragraph there. The 892,000 was spent on the following. There was a resettlement cost. We refer to the additional offices that we established. That is a resettlement cost, because there are more from 35 to 42 staff members. Staff members on the fixed post establishment 9 to 13, and the whole increase of staff within the legal services, that will obviously have an effect in terms of the finances, in terms of fuel, oil. Also, more posts mean a bigger recruitment in terms of appointing new people, and the training and development of staff. We did not in the past have a budget whereby our staff members were developed, and we feel it is extremely important to develop our own staff members, and that is also built in, and that's why we gave a detailed breakdown of the increase in terms of the other. Damaged vehicles, we give a report on damaged vehicles on a quarterly basis. During that quarter, if there's any vehicle that was damaged, or we report on that. And in our quarterly report, we have also indicated that there's investigation, and that where staff members is liable, that we recover the money from that staff members. And the details is in our quarterly report. The other matters, Mr. Kunzler.
Because we want to hurry up, let me just remind you on the matters that I think you haven't responded to. The area where you say unknown deaths, and yet there's supposed to be a post-mortem for everyone, how is that possible that there's unknown if there should be a post-mortem? You will respond to that. What is your definition of what is gross human rights? What is your definition for that?
inspection report had not been received at the time. And without that, we continue to classify it as unknown. The second question, I think the term is gross violation of human rights. I think it's a degree when we, any violation of human rights is serious, of course, if it breaches the provisions of Chapter 2. And I think the adjective gross would be akin to torture and really the type of evidence that goes with it. It might be, I don't know if it's legally permissible, I'm sitting in front of behind two judges here, but I think it's a question of degree. The next question with regard to the NPA, we don't interrogate the NPA. We'd ask in some instances the department. Of course, the process would be, has it been reported to South African Police Services, and the one leg of internal discipline, and then the when it comes to the question of the NPA, they're obviously an independent organ of state. We'd ask them in some cases, and we should do it probably more, but we don't play into their decision. When they say they've issued nolle prosequi, we don't interrogate that further. But I think it's a good question to ask, on what basis has it not been? And I would think the NPA, we made the suggestion before in a previous annual report with regard to unnatural deaths and assaults and their lack of prosecutions, in particular with regard to unnatural deaths. Two avenues can be followed. One is an inquest, well, one is a decision to prosecute or not, and any unnatural death can only be finalized either by a criminal prosecution or an inquest. Now, we've raised the question of inquest before, and we've raised it at this forum, we've raised it at what we call case flow management meetings with magistrates and asked the same question. Our sense is that those matters get filed 13th, they matters, prison-related deaths, do not get priority. And we've had some examples. In fact, we have a particular example in the Western Cape where my sense is that, without going into those details, but we can talk about it, is that they were asking us questions which they should have known in a matter of a suicide. The question of parole is, Mr. Max, I suppose the legal answer, again, I'm in exalted company and cross-examination by you and in front of two judges, if a condition is set, and it's a mandatory condition that is set by the department that you have to do this, and it's not offered by them, then my sense would be that you have not allowed, you've thwarted his consideration for parole. I don't know if that makes sense. I'll leave it there, but I think maybe we can interrogate it. I think your question was, is there a breach? And my question is that if you set a criteria, you should make possible the achievement of that criteria. I think in law they call it the impossibility of performance. Next question. The question of ARVs. As Mr. Carlos had indicated, the survey was a broad-based initial survey to get some baseline. Generally, and I'll give you an anecdotal sense of when I deal with complaints and review complaints, is that ARVs are generally provided. Of course, the survey is as surveys will go, it's broad, and I think we need to hone into that a little more seriously and ask the next question after that. The survey question, I think I've answered that as best I could, but in individual cases, of course, if the person is indicated for an ARV and the CD4
group of inmates one can extract. Other than that, I think I've covered myself. Thank you.
Can we hand over to Judge, or is there a last round of questions that you want to ask? No? Judge, the floor is yours, sir, to wrap up on anything that you wish to wrap up on, and we will then take that and factor that into our BIR report next week. So we allow you the last word, sir.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. The problem which you have is that, as I said, we don't really have some of the things we report about, even if we follow it up, at times it's the duty of the DCS to do something, and they don't. Now, I've used the rules about doctors. It further the centers where there's no medical practitioner who comes there at all. And we report it and say, well, there's not that to get people there. And nothing happens. We interrogate the head of the center about that, call the nurse, who says that we give them water. When the nurse asks, who told them that the water is sufficient for treatment of everything? She says, no. Water, can use water. And it goes to the public in town. The question of water. The recent amnesty by the state president has sort of helped in reducing the number of inmates in the various center. We went to one where we were in there before. We told them after the amnesty, they have released a certain number of people and they don't have proper treatment at all. How about what? And we can see too that there is no tradition. This has happened also a number of other centers. For instance, I think in Toyandu, we've got that also.
anything?